Big welcome to our three guests for this third hour of the show. They are, from my left to right, not the... Shush! That's next. not that you can see this, but we've got Lennon Calum.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, hello. And Daniel Simons.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. And Phil Shelley.
Hi.
Welcome along. Lennon is a, if I've got this right, is a student at the Innovate Workshops organisation. Daniela is their operations director and Phil is the chair of trustees. So, Innovate Workshops, you're based up at the Ruffham Industrial Estate, Business Park or whatever it's called, Industrial Estate, I think. So what is Innovate?
So Innovate is an 11 to 16-year-old alternative provision, and we offer a range of vocational workshops for young people who may be struggling in mainstream education.
Right.
So at the moment we do woodwork, bike repairs and maintenance, cooking, arts, music, horticulture, nails, beauty, salon, right. Maths and English functional skills. And the students that we get usually come from mainstream school or directly from the local authority. And they can be with us anything from 1.5 hours for a session to 15 hours a week, really.
Right, I was going to say, yeah. how long are they up there for or whatever.
So it really depends. Some students have longer provision with us and the others come for... the 1.5 hours might be having some respite from school,
right.
Or it could be an intervention.
So they get referred to you by schools, or not self-referral, presumably, but...
Yeah, we have a couple of parents that refer, but mainly referred from schools or the local authority.
Right, OK. So when did you start up?
We started about 2 years ago, just with one workshop, actually, but we've added as we've gone over the last couple of years, and most recently this year we became a charity in March, so we're quite a young charity.
Right.
But we're now up to, well, what was that, eight workshops. We're about to add two more, so we should get up to 10, and then we're looking ahead to next year where we're hopefully going to double that. So we're growing very fast, mainly because there's an enormous amount of need for it. So there's plenty of capacity needed, and we're pretty well full up today.
Right. So has that need always been there, or has it increased?
It's an interesting question. I think it's always been there.
Right.
But I think there are a number of factors that means that it's becoming more relevant and more important. I mean, there are clearly a lot of children in this position, and that number seems to be growing. So it's definitely needed. There is obviously an alternative provision out there for children like this, but it's under huge demand and is also at capacity. So there's definitely need for more capacity to try and
So that alternative provision, what is that? That is kind of particular schools, or rather than within existing schools, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, so some schools have their own alternative provisions, and some don't. So... sorry, I lost where I was going.
That's all right. Well, I was going to ask Lennon something. Anyway. So Lennon, how long have you been involved?
Roughly about 3 years, I think.
Okay, yeah. And how many times a week do you come up for? How long, roughly?
I am there about a few hours a day.
Right.
It's hard to say directly because it all...
Every day or whatever.
All, yeah. I'm there Mondays, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Right. So how and why did you come up there rather than stick it out at whatever school you were at?
So, funny story, my old school actually closed down.
Right, okay.
And then I was sort of left with nowhere to go. But then, of course, you know, Innovate, they were still there. If there's one thing you can count on, it's Innovate.
Right, okay, right.
So Lennon actually came to us when he was at his last provision. Mm. But they used us really to complement their offer. Mm-hmm. Whereas Lennon is now with us because his provision didn't exist anymore.
Right, okay, yes. Right.
So now Lennon does every single workshop, apart from the horticulture. Mm. Yeah.
Right. You don't like gardening?
No.
No, that's okay. That's fine. See, if I was in your shoes, it's anything kind of vaguely mechanical, I'd be going, no, you know, I couldn't do that at all. So I used to do. I remember they stopped me doing metalwork at school because I ended up in the sick bay most of the time. But anyway, right? Okay. So are you The most... How many kids are there up there? Roughly, do you reckon? They'll know the official number, but you can just tell me what you think.
That's more of a Dan question.
Oh, all right, there we go. On.
Well, we are a one-to-one provision.
Right, so everybody comes up, they have one person to deal with them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they have one person. So it really depends how many sessions that student has in that day. But we would only have maybe 8 to 10 students in at one time.
Right.
During one session. But that will increase during the day.
Right.
So we have about 45 to 50 students at the moment.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
We're doing up to about 200 hours a week now.
Right. And where do you come from this? You're all qualified teachers, presumably, or
no,
not?
I'm not a qualified teacher. No.
Right.
I started my career in education about 18 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Working in middle schools as a cover supervisor, and then I started to study behaviour and psychology, and then I moved to Essex and worked in pupil referral units.
Right.
So did some work-based learning as well, but mainly working around behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked at a secondary school in Bury St Edmunds, running the intervention centre there, mm-hmm. and then on to where I am now.
Right. I'm looking at you.
I thought you might be. Well, as Chair of Trustees, I'm not. I've never been involved in
it. You're in a different boat, aren't you? You're actually kind of part of the board, so to speak, yes.
But we do have very strong educational expertise on the trustee board. But, I mean, I was a... God forbid, I was an investment banker for a long, long time.
Right.
Which is quite handy when it comes to raising money, which is obviously a key part of what we have to do, just to keep afloat.
Right. So is that how you got into this, really?
I mean, one of the first workshops we did was a woodwork workshop, and they produced owl boxes. And mm-hmm. I bought an owl box and got talking to the guy who was running it, and that led to lots of things, including where we are now. So I bought the product, as it were.
Right. And we've got with us from Innovate Workshops organisation that's based up at Ruffham Industrial Estate Park thing and supports young people who's struggling a bit with what mainstream education has to offer. We've got Daniela and we've got Phil and we've got one of their students, Lennon. Lennon, you were telling me you do all the available workshops apart from the gardening. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, so what's your favourite? What's the best one?
Best one
you need
I
to
would
be careful here, Lennon.
oh, sorry, mate. Tell me about the last one. Anyway, tell me something.
my favourite of the studios is music production because I get to share my interests and create something new that's often inspired by a piece of music that I personally enjoy.
Right, and have you been a kind of musical head for some time?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so so what have you got in the setup there? You've got instruments or is it electronics or a bit of both?
It's mainly done on a computer program, but we do have physical instruments like sort of electric guitars, bass guitars. I think somewhere kicking about we've got an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, somewhere. But basically you've got the right kind of computer kit and speakers and record stuff and you can play around and stuff.
Yeah, recording studios, microphones, everything.
Right. And you do that one-to-one with a... Because these two guys have been telling me it's all one-to-one, so you get a tutor or whatever you call them. Do you call them tutors, teachers?
Sort of a...
Or do you call them John?
I think...
Jane?
I think Dan referred to them as mentors.
Oh, mentor. Okay, yeah, 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 because that's the phrase, isn't it? Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, sorry, I know I understand that phrase, yeah. So what are the other workshops then? Give us talk us through the ones that are there.
If I remember correctly, there's woodwork, gear, cooking, arts... gardening, which I don't do, music, functional skills.
Right.
Is that all of them?
Well, we're starting salon, aren't we? We've just started salon.
Mm-hmm. What's gear?
Gear is sort of your bike repair.
Oh, I see. Right, okay, yeah.
You can do 3D printing.
Yeah, you see, when you say gear, I'm a child of the 1960s, and gear meant clothes in those days. You know? Have you got the right gear? Didn't mean have you selected the right gear. It meant had you got the flared jeans, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. But, yeah. So,
I think that might have been lost on him.
It was a crazy fashion, and I had them, and I've got some pictures of me, but they only go out if the press pay me a lot of money. But anyway, but so you do all those ones, and you get one mentor for each one, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how much freedom do you get about what you... What's the difference between it and kind of mainstream school?
The difference between mainstream and innovate is you have a lot more freedom of what you want to do in your sessions.
Okay.
So, for example, in your cooking sessions, I cook more savoury stuff, whereas in sort of my previous provision, I was told, you're cooking this, you'll be doing it this way. But now at Innovate, I do what I choose to do that's within reason.
Right. Because you like that kind of food or you want to develop that way or something. Yeah.
Yes.
For whatever reason, doesn't matter. You can use it. You don't have to justify it. Right. Okay.
It's probably worth saying. I mean, I think that all the kids we have are incredibly resilient, obviously, as a starting point, but they're also incredibly imaginative. And so our role when we think about a workshop is to make sure we've got as much equipment and as much capability in that workshop so that they can, frankly, do what they want to do. So, you know, we're constantly challenging ourselves to find more capability, more kit, whether it's music, whether it's a sound studio, whether it's cooking, whatever it is. We're constantly challenging ourselves to make sure that we can give them as much of a chance to develop a vocational skill and an interest in one of our workshops.
Right. Now, I suppose if I was kind of Mr. Cynical, I would be saying, so, isn't that just letting people do what they want to do? How do you know it works? In terms of actually improving prospects and improving what you were like as a person. Yeah.
So it's not that we're letting them do what they want to do. We are a student-led provision. And what we're trying to do is teach the students that they can make decisions. You know, they are led by us as well. But if it's something that they want to do and we can do it and it's relevant to the workshop that they're doing as well, then we will try and help them to achieve that.
I don't know if you heard, there's something called the theory of self-determination, which is quite important to the way we think about
this. Okay, go on.
That requires, obviously, as a foundation, self-esteem, building self-esteem. So making something and achieving something is very important to what we're doing, but it also requires autonomy and connectivity. So autonomy means, obviously, that if you want to create that, you've got to let them make decisions about what they're doing. That all builds into something that creates self-determination, namely, a child can decide what he wants to do and make it happen. And that's what we're about. We're trying to help children succeed in life by giving them vocational skills, mentoring them across some of the issues that they're facing.
Right.
So that they can develop not just the skills, but also as we start to move into qualifications and try and help them have a really successful life, both in college, but also beyond that into work.
As far as we know, our listeners spread quite an age range. I think some of them might be listening to this, and I'm doing this and thinking, do you know what? One of the great things about when I went to school was that creativity and choice was seen to be a really big thing to develop you. Has that got less over the years? And can you say that without being too political? You probably can or can't. I don't mind. Just say.
I don't mind being political. I've got to be very political. Education has got better at producing results. I think that's relatively understood. But in doing so, you could argue that it's become or had to become a little bit more organised or structured, and so therefore that kind of sort of innovation and creativity doesn't necessarily have quite the outlet that it might have, and we are very focused on giving an outlet, particularly when some of our kids come from backgrounds that they have some of the mental health issues they have might mean that creativity is a fantastic thing for them to do, and some of them are incredibly creative. Some of the things they produce across all the workshops is fantastic to see. There's no doubt there's no shortage of creativity. As I say, our role is to make sure that we allow them to exercise that by giving the capabilities. So we've invested quite heavily in all our workshops to make sure we've got really good kit, you know, whether it's a sound studio or whether it's whatever it may be, just making sure we've got the capability to allow that creativity to surface and develop. Right. Because that develops lots of things. Self-esteem, yes.
Yeah,
it also
yeah.
develops an interest in the subject, whether it's music, whatever it may be. That's a fantastic thing. And if you can develop that, they develop as people in a really positive way, which you can then turn into maybe qualifications, maybe college, maybe jobs. But those are the outlets that we're thinking about.
And that's the go on.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, the schools do offer that, but sometimes it's more about the student, and the student cannot manage the environment that they're in.
So there's that as well as that.
The opportunities might be there, but a student might be struggling with sensory overload, so they might find it too difficult to go to that classroom and manage that subject. So with us, because we're a one-to-one environment, they haven't got the other stresses that they would usually have in school.
And is that true? Is that approach sort of common to most other, as far as your most other kind of alternative providers, or if that's the right phrase to use about you, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of other alternative provisions out there as well, and they're not all one-to-one, but, you know, we all look at what the student's need is and how we can meet that. So you do have the opportunity to mix. Mm-hmm. Other provisions do mixed workshops. So, it really depends on what works for that child. Yeah.
And as you say, and in terms of how it develops and how the young people go on that, it's early days, isn't it, in terms of your organisation, etc.
Yeah, it is. However, we have had a couple of students return to us and let us know how they're getting on. One of them was inspired to go to college and study motor vehicle mechanics.
Right.
From working in the bike repairs and maintenance workshop. So, it was really lovely to have him come back and, you know, thank us for the support we gave him.
It is early days, but we're very, very careful to measure outcomes, particularly mental health outcomes, as we go through all of the sessions, and each session gets reported and so on. So there's a lot of focus on making sure we're doing the best job we can for each specific child, and they're all very different. So that's a very important part of what we do. It's not just, you know, they do what they want to do, but it's...
I just think
scrutiny there that is important
because
we need to really, you know, make sure that we're doing the best we can for them.
And there is something about choosing what you do and stuff anyway, isn't there, that's really exciting. I mean, I kind of retired from my full-time work 6 years ago, and, you know, it's very exciting to be able to... Not that I didn't like what I was doing, it's just that I don't have to do it now, you know, or I don't have to do certain things, and it can be very good, whatever age you are, I would say, actually.
And I think for Lennon, especially in woodwork, you've tried some really challenging things, haven't you,
in
woodwork? Give me an example.
My first ever project was a gift for my mum. It was a picture frame, and I sort of got this. They got in this like wood from like I don't know somewhere. Very specific, I know, but I sort of painted it, varnished it, sort of, you know, then stuck it all together, make a frame. It's actually still a really good frame. And now it has a picture in it, so...
That's great. There's a good feeling about that, isn't there? I think no matter where you are and what you're doing, if you set off to do something, do it well. That's my experience, anyway. I've got a lot of experience of doing stuff that doesn't work, but anyway, you know, so I know how good it feels. Yeah, that's absolutely, absolutely fascinating. You're relatively new. You said a year, did you?
We've been going for two years. As a charity, we've been going for 6 months, so we're a relatively new charity.
Right. There's a lot of charities in and around Bury St Edmunds, and I suspect it's growing nationally anyway. What help do you need, if any?
Well, we always want money, obviously. Although we get paid by Suffolk County Council and schools for referring the children, so we get paid, you know, for each session. Every time we grow, and at the moment we're growing very quickly, we need money to equip workshops, to build workshops. We're about to double what we're doing, and that's going to be quite a lot of money. So we do need as many donations as we can. We're very lucky, and I should say a huge thank you to all the people who have supported us so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, not just West Suffolk Police and Crime Commissioner, National Lottery, you know, Suffolk Foundation, all of these people have supported us, but we've also had a lot of individuals donate, you know, very significant amounts of money, and that makes a massive difference because it allows us to grow. And when we're hitting capacity and we have literally dozens of people ringing up saying, can we do something, we want to get bigger. A, because we think we're onto something. Even Cambridge University might think we're onto something.
They do your evaluations or whatever.
They're going to come and do a study on it.
So we'll find
out whether there really is science behind it. But I, you know, I think that money is an important thing. The other thing I think is, you know, we're a local charity working with local businesses. Anyone who's got ideas for new workshops, we're always all ears.
Right.
So if someone's got a brilliant idea, you know, absolutely tell us about it, and even better, equip it. We survive heavily on what people can give us, so any help is obviously hugely appreciated.
And also, one of the other things that we're working on is a bursary fund as well, because there's lots of young people that can't access our provision because of funding or they're not eligible for funding. So it's quite important for us to get quite a good bursary fund together so that we can support some of the young people that, that can't access our provision.
Right. And if people want to find out more about you, they can get you from your website. Your name is spelt in one of those ways that needs spelling out, doesn't it? Because it's I-N-N-O-V, then a letter, then a number 8.
Number
8,
yep.
Workshops.com.
Yeah, workshop. You have to put workshops after it, don't you? Otherwise, you don't
get it. You do. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, so we're posting quite often what we're doing in the workshops.
Right.
Yeah.
So if people Google you, it's quite easy to find if they put something like Bury St Edmunds and Innovate, then it comes up, I think.
Innovateworkshops.com. You'll come straight through to us.
Right. Okay. That's great. Well, look, thank you so much for joining us. Time ticketh on it, as they say. So so we got to wrap it up. But, you know, Lennon, thanks for coming along especially. Well, not especially, but all of you, actually. Daniela and Phil as well. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yes.
I mean, obviously, the team is building, so we've got quite a lot of people involved in Innovate Workshops, not just people who donate. Mm-hmm. And I should just say that, I mean, they do an amazing job. We wouldn't be able to grow as quickly as we have done without all their support.
Right.
So the mentors are actually very special people. And Danny obviously is as well, but it's fantastic to have a team like that in help grow this organisation.
Brilliant, Phil. Thank you very much indeed, Phil, Danny, and Lennon. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.